So welcome. As you can see, we're in the church in West Branch, and it's going to be a good time tonight. We are going to begin with prayer, and then we will catch up our read the word. There's two of them. It's the last half of the book of Daniel, and we will be ready for Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra's building the temple. Nehemiah's building the wall. What it turns out to be, the last 150 years of Israel's communication with God, and then God goes silent for 400 years.
Wow. Just not something you want to happen.
I keep thinking, after hearing Dr. Barclay preach this week, I keep thinking about people who are going to miss heaven. And you realize that's an eternity without the presence of God. And people are like, oh, you're going to burn in fire. And they get all focused on the fire. Don't get focused on the fire. Get the reality that you will have no characteristic of God in your life whatsoever. Joy is from God. Peace is from God. Sleep is from God. Rest is from God. Happy is God. Fun's God. Joy is God. Water's God. Quench. You thirst. That's God.
Yeah.
No characteristic of God will be in hell. Total absence of his presence. No hope of escape. And it just causes you to say, wait a minute. We've got to help people find out who God is and learn how to teach people how to walk with God in all we do. Well, here we go. Let's get busy. I could preach on that for a while, but I'm not going to do that. Our opening prayer, oh my goodness, is buried somewhere in all of these screens. Well, I have no idea where it is. You might say, well, Pastor, you do this all the time. No, I don't do this all the time. Here we go. That's Blog Talk Radio. Let me see if I can scrunch that like that. And scrunch this like that and like that. Hold on. That's all there is. Well, here we go. Opening prayer. I'll pray it. You amen it. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration. As your children, the heirs of God. As the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God. As ministers of reconciliation. As ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. As kings and priests to God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that our lives will be changed forever by the word of God, so that glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen.
And amen. Did anybody put the YouTube link in the family thread? I did. Just like that. Bam, there it is. Well, here we go. Put my hat back on. My hair is all messed up. Read the word tonight is Daniel chapter 7 through Daniel chapter 12. And this is Daniel 550 years before Jesus getting a prophecy about our day and the seven-year tribulation and the end times. So, here we go with a very, very powerful read the word. Now, I would have thought I'd had enough sense and leadership of the Holy Spirit to just do this like this anyways, but it'd be all right. Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Maybe that's what you got to do, Sunday. Write it down. All right. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. First was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Pretty serious vision. Suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side, had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Didn't have it, it was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth that was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by its roots. And there and this horn were eyes, like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. So we know this is not God, because God wouldn't speak pompous words. Right? I can hear the old religious person saying, well, he would if he wanted to. Well, no, he wouldn't. That's not his nature. So, verse 9, the vision of the Ancient of Days. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the books were opened. Say this, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
And there's a book written about me. And there's a book written about you and I getting together.
Hallelujah.
So there's going to be lots of books. Keep reading. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. That's hell. As for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Season and a time. I was watching the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. This is Jesus. Which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. I don't care what you crazy nuts today think you're doing against God and how much you're going to shut up his mouth and everything else. It ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. You can't silence him. It's like Samuel Rodriguez preached. The pathetic in the presence of the prophetic always falls to pieces. Right? Mm-hmm. Verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great... Now listen, let's let the Word of God say what the Word of God says. Amen? Amen. Just read it and believe it. Let's see. Those great beasts, which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But, hold the phone, hold the camera still. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So who gives a flying flip about them four beasts? Then I wished to know the truth about the four beasts, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And the ten horns which were on its head, and the other horn which came up before, which three fell, namely the horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. But don't stop there. Verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. And guess what? That's been in time now for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. Where is his kingdom? His kingdom is within us. Luke. Verse 23, thus he said, the four beasts shall be a fourth, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He will speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatest of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. Notice that his is capitalized. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. That's our assignment. That's what we're doing. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. I think it's very interesting what you shared with us Sunday, right here, before this program.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, it's like we're reading what you just said. Write it in a book. Chapter 8. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me. To me, Daniel. After the one that appeared to me the first time. I love this. I saw in the vision, and it happened while I was looking, that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was by the river Ulai. I lifted up my eyes and saw, and there standing beside the river was a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher one came up last. And I saw the ram pushing eastward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him. Nor was there any that could deliver from his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. He came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him. But he cast him to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver that ram from his hand. Therefore the male goat grew very great. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came toward the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. Both of those words are capitalized, glorious land. Grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and some of the stars to the ground, trampled them. He even exalted himself high as the prince of hosts. By him, the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. That's speaking of Lucifer. Right? Mm-hmm. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifice, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to the certain one who was speaking, "How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, "For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." 2,300 days. 1,260. Anyways, keep reading. I keep wanting to stop and talk, but we got to just read. "Then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." Hold on, I'm going to underline that. Verse 15. And it happened when I'm in chapter 8, verse 15. "Then it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, who called and said, 'Gabriel, make this man understand the vision.'" Well, now Gabriel's the archangel of the Lord who comes as an angel, a messenger. "So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, 'Understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end.' As he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground." He was out in the Holy Ghost. But he touched me and stood me upright. And he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be. There is an end. The ram which you saw having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persian. The male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Just read what's on the page. Verse 22. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. And in the latter time of their kingdoms, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise having fierce features who understands sinister schemes, demon-possessed. When the transgressors have reached their fullness, verse 24, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. And he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. What does that mean? Power, life, and death is in our tongue, and we are the opposing force on this earth until Jesus comes. Do not stop speaking the will of God. Do not stop speaking. And the vision of the evening and mornings which was told is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. I'm in verse 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I rose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. Chapter 9. Daniel's prayer for the people. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Verse 4, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all country to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. Now, we're still seeing people come from all over the world in this day, mm-hmm. where God has driven them to the whole world. Daniel chapter 9, verse 9. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servant, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. Now remember, you and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law by the blood of Jesus.
Right.
We have redemption, the forgiveness of sin, by the blood of Jesus, not by any action of your own. You don't get that. You get it through the blood of Jesus because you have faith in his blood and his righteousness. Verse 12. He has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind, brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. He's righteous. He's holy. He makes no mistake.
Right.
15. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are reproached to all those around us. Therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. But guess what? We are the sanctuary today.
Yes.
Daniel 9:18. O my God, incline your ear, open your eyes, see our desolation, that the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deed, but because of your great mercies. And as he just said, because of your righteousness. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name. Verse 20, I'm in Daniel 9:20. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly loved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. So he's telling Daniel, God heard you when you first prayed. Now, I want you to remember, you and I are in a different dispensation than Daniel. We're in a different place than Daniel. These people had to do sackcloth, ashes, fasting, and all of that stuff. They had to do it. That was the way God was going to move. Because it was the law, and it was the prescribed process for the law. But you and I, that is not us. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 says, that you and I come boldly to the throne room of grace. Why? That we might find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Well, how often do we get to come boldly? Every day, all day long. Every day, all day long. Now, if we don't, you can't look at God and say, what's your deal? He's up in heaven saying, what's your deal? You're supposed to come boldly all day, every day. See, all of a sudden, we're going to get into this understanding of, wait, I am an heir of God. I am royalty. I should not be down under anything. I should be above only and not beneath. I should be the head and not the tail. I am royalty, not a royal mess. And how many people have made that statement? I'm reading the word more than you're scowling.
Yes.
Okay, I've gone to preach and it's time to read the word. Hold the sign up. Read the word. 24. 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks, a year and a half. For your people, for your holy city to finish the transgression. To make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. There it is. 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks, 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall. Even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Gabriel, the messenger angel, telling Daniel exactly what his vision meant, even though to many of us it's all Hebrew to me. Chapter 10. I just want you to notice I'm staying very focused. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, third year, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar by the abominations. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. That's a long time to mourn. Do you notice he said 3 full weeks?
Yeah.
On the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris.
It is verse 3.
What? Oh, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning. Who it is. The Ancient of Days. His face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire. his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. If you've ever been in the presence of God in this level, you want to hide. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. My vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground. Out in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Well, the only way you can stand in the presence of that is that you're born again. And when God says stand up, you realize, I'm his son. I can stand in his presence. When he says stand, it's time to stand. That means the blood of Jesus is working, and obey the order he gave you and stand up. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking to me, I stood and I was trembling. He said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. How important are the words of our mouth, that they match this word of God? Why? Because the angel ain't coming for your words. He's coming when your mouth is filled with God's word. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. He was fighting principalities and powers. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. And when he spoke such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved. That's about the third time we've heard that. Fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scriptures of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. That word prince there is the word angel. Okay? So Michael was Daniel's angel. It's pretty cool having Michael as an angel. Chapter 11. Also, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. And now I tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings will arise in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than all. By his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. Then a mighty king shall arise, who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. When he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be uprooted even for others besides these. Verse number 5. Also, the king of the south shall become strong, as well as one of his princes, and he shall gain power over him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. Now that his is capitalized. So that's Jesus. Six, at the end of some years, they shall join forces, for the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an agreement. But he shall not retain the power of her authority, and neither here nor his authority shall stand. Neither he nor his authority shall stand. But she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who strengthened her in those times. But from a branch of her roots one shall arise in his place, who shall come with an army, enter the fortress of the king of the north, and deal with them and prevail. And he shall also carry their gods captive to Egypt with their princes and their precious articles of silver and gold. He shall continue more years than the king of the north. Also, the king of the north shall come to the kingdom of the king of the south, but shall return to his own land. However, his sons shall stir up strife and assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overwhelm and pass through. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. Verse 11, and the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him, with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. When he has taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted up, and he will cast down tens of thousands, but he will not prevail. For the king of the north will return and muster a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. I bet you didn't realize the word much equipment was in the Bible.
I didn't.
Now in those times many shall rise up against the king of the south, also violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound, take a fortified city, and the forces of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist. But he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land with destruction in his power. He shall also set his face to enter with strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it, but she shall not withstand him. She shall not stand with him or be for him.
Wow.
After this, he shall turn his face to the coastlands and shall take many. But a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end. And with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. 19. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land. He shall stumble and fall and not be found. There shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. In his place shall arise a vile person, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and say, and seize the kingdom by intrigue. With the force of a flood they shall be swept away from before him and be broken, and also the prince of the covenant. Think about that verse in Isaiah. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God stands up against him. 23. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully. For he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peaceably, even into the richest places of the province. And he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, spoil, and riches. And he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but shall not stand, for they shall devise a plan against him. They're going to build Jerusalem. They're going to build the temple. They're going to build the walls. They're going to go up and down and up and down, and south arise and down it goes and up it goes. And these people need to get their stuff together. Only problem is, it's already over. And they don't. And you and I have the opportunity to bring the kingdom to this earth.
Yeah.
And like that song that Dr. Winston always once played, everything changes when the kingdom comes.
26.
Yes, those who eat of the portions of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away. Many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table. But it shall not prosper, for the end will still be at an appointed time. No man knows the day or the hour, but we sure can tell the season. Mm-hmm. It's real close.
Yeah.
28, while returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the holy covenant, so he shall do damage and return to his own land. The northern king's blasphemies. At the appointed time he shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter, for ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. That is messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where we are right there. Verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. Now look at that. You've got to make a decision. The Apostle Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate. If you don't choose God, he can't make you. He won't make you. But the people, verse 32, who know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. You cannot change prophecy. The devil is going to be destroyed. The Antichrist will be destroyed. All of the power of the enemy will be destroyed. There's no way it's going to prosper. See, you've got to be on the right side.
Thirty-seven.
He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. Those are the characteristics of the Antichrist. Right there. He shall regard neither the God of his father nor the desire of women. So he was homosexual. Nor regard any God, for he will call himself God. But in their place he shall honor a God of fortresses, and a God which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he will acknowledge and advance its glory, and shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Which is what Russia's doing right now. The Northern Kingdom's conquest, verse 40. At the time of the end, the kingdom of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand: Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with a great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. The people that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Chapter 12. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Every one who is found written in the book. Get your name written in the book. Like what Dr. Barclay said this week at the conference. If you don't show up when the roll is called down yonder here at church, More than likely, you won't show up when the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. It was an old hymn. R.W. Shambach said it. Verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Those who are dead. Some to everlasting life. Some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Say it. That's me.
That's me.
I'm turning many to righteous. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Is knowledge increasing right now? Are people running all over the whole world? It's amazing how people are running. I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him, capitalized, who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Look at this. Many shall be purified, made white, refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Daniel will arise to the inheritance at the end of the days. And thus is the reading of God's holy word, the book of Daniel. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff in there that everybody's like, well, I got a question about this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And who's that guy and why did they do that and what's that all about? Well, the biggest answer I can give you is, wow, that's interesting. That's amazing. Wouldn't you love to know that? This is what we do know. Let me simplify it for you. Jesus is coming back to earth. To put his foot down. No. He's not going to put his foot down. He's going to meet us in the air. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. The dead in Christ. Let's just turn there. Let me just make this simple. Simple. 1 Thessalonians. Who took it out of my Bible? Why would you do that? 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to 4. Thirteen. And we're going to read down through. What time is it? We got a little bit of time. 4:13 through 5:11. I'm not going to preach, I'm going to read. So you ready? Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. God doesn't want us sorrowing like those who have no hope. In any sense of the word. Quit your sorrowing like those who have no hope. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't think they made it. How are you going to change it? Their destiny is sealed.
Bringing more sorrow into the earth. Yes, into
the heart. You mourning someone who God spoke to their whole life and chose not to walk with him. That ain't going to do anybody any good. It's going to waste all your days. Which is what the enemy wants, is to waste your days. No preaching, just reading. Yes, ma'am.
But you also cannot know what their conversation with God was when they left here. So don't be determined in your mind whether they made it or not. You can't know that.
Yeah, just keep your faith on the fact that I might see him on the other side.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, God is holy, just, and merciful. Verse 14. I could preach for 4 more hours. Where are you, Roger? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. By no means. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Now, man, Brother Phil was blowing the trumpet the other day. The dude was blowing the trumpet.
Oh, my goodness.
And then his son joined him, and they blew the trumpet together. And that ain't going to be nothing compared to that day, because everybody's going to hear it.
Yeah.
All right? With the voice of an archangel, trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See, Jesus never comes all the way back to the earth. We meet him in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. These words are to be a comfort to you. Mm-hmm. See, this is what... When you really get a reality of this, it makes you get real serious with your people and those who you love and appreciate and all those words, because you want them to be in heaven with you. Yeah. You want them there. Chapter 5, verse 1, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Why would we be in darkness when we have the light of the world on the inside of us? But see, many people don't realize that when you're born again, you didn't just get quote-unquote saved and join a church. You got God Almighty living in you like he did in Adam in the garden. You are literally restored to Eden level. Well, no, I wasn't, Pastor. Yeah, you were. Your religious brain has got to be convinced by the word, but yes, you were. You were made an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus. You cannot take that verse out of the Bible. Stop preaching and start reading. Verse 4. I'm in 1 Thessalonians 5:4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. As soon as the light comes in, there's no more darkness. If you still got darkness in here, you got to get the light. You got to let the light go. Mm-hmm. Take the lid off the light. Amen? Mm-hmm. For those who sleep. Nope. Six. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober or vigilant. Pay attention. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, which is what the tribulation is wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. The last verse of 18 and verse 11 of the 4:18 and 5:11 both say the same thing. Comfort one another with these words. And you might say, Pastor, I'm not too comforted by the talk of the end and the Antichrist and God. You ain't never going to worry about the Antichrist. You got to get this revelation. You are not just a quote-unquote Christian that belongs to a church and I go do a religious thing on Sunday. Stop it. You have been filled with Almighty God when you said, Jesus, come into my life. So we're circling the wagon right now for Read the Word. You've got to get this revelation. Just because you're born again doesn't mean your mind has changed. You have to take this word and fix that brain, fix that mind that believes all this other garbage. I can't believe how many Christians go find every verse in the Bible about suffering, sorrow, death, destruction, hell, how bad you are, when there's three times as many verses about God's blessing and he's and his strength and his power and who you are in him.
Amen.
If you focus on beat down, destroyed, I'm bad, wicked, awful, that's what you're going to be. But if you focus on what Jesus did when you were born again and became a believer, you'll become a believer. You mean, Pastor, I'm going to get whatever I want? Guarantee it. If you want don't, can't, won't, and awful, that's what you get. The spirit of religion will make sure that's what you get. God's in the background going, hey, don't do that. And the spirit of religion is like, go do it. Suffer for Jesus. Will you suffer persecution if you are walking with God? Yes, you will. While you are conquering. Not while you're failing, while you're conquering. Pastor, I just heard you read right there that that devil's going to overtake us all and he's going to have power over all of us. I don't have time for all of that right now. But here's the revelation of the book of Revelation. We win. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 5 through verse number 8. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 8. And now you know what is restraining. Who? The Antichrist. That he may be revealed in his own time, not right now. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, capital he, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the world. Well, who's restraining? Jesus has been given all the power, all the authority, all the might, all the dominion, all the strength, and he went to hell and nailed the devil to the tree. We wiping out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, paying all your debt. You have been redeemed. That's a financial statement. Redemption has been paid. Just like if you put your ring in the pawn shop, they're going to give you a redemption slip when you go back to get it out. You redeem it. You buy it back. Jesus bought us back with his blood, but you don't belong to yourself. Another day of your life, you don't get a choice. You are bought with the price of his blood. And now we're the force on this earth. We're the restraining force. Jesus, even like I've been saying, even if you're the skin on the bottom of Jesus' foot in the body of Christ, you're still crushing the enemy. You're actually the closest part crushing the enemy. Somebody ought to say, glory be to God in Jesus' mighty name. Whew. Bring it to a close. Now, we're going to receive communion tonight like we always do. And that's just our daily process that we do every time we come together. We receive communion. And so I want everybody to stay with us. You might say, Pastor, according to my church, I can't take communion with you. Well, you need to quit worshiping your church and start worshiping Jesus and reading your Bible. Because there's no verse in the Bible that says you can only take communion with your church. That is a man-made doctrine that is not biblically substantiated. So I encourage you to come and receive communion with us. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, what an amazing book the book of Daniel is. How you delivered these Hebrew children. How you sent them into captivity, but then you protected them, kept them safe, kept all your stuff safe. And then you brought that worldly leader and said, pay for them to go back and build the temple and rebuild the city. And you did it. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, Lord, as we see our place as the force on this earth right now opposing the Antichrist taking over and opposing every bit of wickedness, we realize we are the force on this earth. Help us walk in it. Help us live like it. Help us talk like it. Help us act like it, no matter what. We thank you that you're coming back to receive us to you in the not too distant future. Bless everyone who's with us tonight to stay and to receive these wonderful, blessed, and holy communion elements with us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Don't worry. Sister Leanne's doing jumping jacks back here on all the creaky floor. Don't know if you know what a creaky floor is, but this church has one. But it was creaky way back in the day when my dad was the pastor here. So that floor's been creaky like that for a creaky long time.
Creaky long time.
Now, we welcome every one of you. Here's how we receive communion. We read the verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Jesus came and spoke to the Apostle Paul. Then we pray the prayer of salvation, which is a prayer of salvation, rededication, or just hallelujah, I'm walking with God. And then I gave you a couple, about 2 minutes worth of instruction, and then we receive the elements together. Why? Because Jesus said that the number one identifying factor of those who can receive communion is, let a man examine himself first. Well, once you examine yourself, then you better pray. So you're right with God. And then you receive the elements. That's the only challenge. A whole bunch of people are like, well, if you've sinned, don't take communion because you're going to take to yourself damage. Are you kidding me? If you've sinned, that's the number one thing you need is communion. What? Can you imagine the Father saying about Jesus' blood, nope, I'm sorry, you sinned this week. You don't get to use it.
That's what it was given for.
I'm sure the Father's wanted to smack a whole bunch of preachers right in the head. Okay, let me see. That's a human way of saying it. I'm sure the Father's wanted to reach down and close the lips of a lot of preachers for millenniums. Who've been saying, nope, communion's just for those who are righteous. Jesus' blood was shed so you can become righteous. Because you can't become righteous in your own strength. I've gone preaching and it's time to read the Bible. The stage crew just held up a sign. Read the Bible. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Now listen, you're going to hear it right here. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't take it. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Well, what's his death? His redemptive work. You're not supposed to be kneeling at an altar picturing Jesus on the cross going, oh, Jesus, you just suffered so bad for me. That's not what he wants. He is no longer on the cross. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he called it all joy. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28. I'm going to preach on me tonight. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. Let a man examine himself. You don't examine me, and I don't examine you. You examine yourself in the light of the Holy Spirit. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is right now, so are we in this world. Perfect love, cast out fear, and all the torment, the trauma that goes with it. Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray a simple prayer. And if you pray it with us and mean it from the depths of your heart, you'll be right with God in 2 minutes. Forever! It's amazing. Ready? Pray it with me. I'm going to say it. Sister Leanne's going to say it. You say it with her. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now this is your opportunity. Make this declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of
and
God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Jesus, come into my life.
Jesus, come into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all of the fullness of God.
With all of the fullness of God.
Ready? Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
Live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. I know by my own experience that some of you are sitting there right now going, wow, what is going on inside of me? You have just been made new. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Jesus, the light of the world, just filled you with light. All darkness is now gone. He's the author and finisher of all faith, and he just came to live on the inside of you. So now you have faith living in you. And the Father said, adopt him into the family. And according to Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, you are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You don't have to believe me. Read the Bible and believe what you read. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Man, Pastor, I never heard anybody say this before. I know. Because the spirit of religion wanted you to go forward, shake a man's hand, and join a church. That's the last thing Jesus wanted you to do. Jesus wanted you to be baptized into the body and become a powerful force in the body of Christ. And that's what just happened. Now, my email address and website's right there in the notes of this program, whether you're on Blog Talk Radio or YouTube. We want you to contact us and say, hey, preacher, help me walk with God. If you're a female, my wife will help you. Naturally, the men, I'll help them. And we'll help you walk with God every day of your life. We got hundreds of videos that will teach you how to walk with God in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements together. Get you some grape juice and bread and water, whatever you got, so that you can be ready to receive. My one friend in on the flight line in Iraq during the war, he called me on Skype. It sounded like Donald Duck. He said, Pastor, I haven't had communion in 8 months. I'm like, what do you got? He said, I got Cheez-Its and Gatorade. I'm like, that'll do it, man. Let's make it happen. And we took communion over the phone on Skype from all the way from West Branch, Michigan to wherever he was in Iraq. I think he was called Jerfasucker. I think that's where he was at. Didn't even know that existed, did you? I didn't either. Ready? Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is on you, Lord.
Is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am
healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, in my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Because of your broken body.
Because of your broken body.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
There's nothing missing and nothing
in
broken.
In any part of my life.
In any part of my life.
I thank you for it.
And I thank you.
I receive your broken body, Jesus.
I receive your broken body.
I receive my place in the body of Christ.
I receive my place in the body of Christ.
And bless this body of Christ right here.
and bless this body of Christ right
in
here.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. But your body was broken. So we have a place in the body of Christ. Lift up the cup of blessing. Let's make this prayer together. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
Every day for the rest of my life.
Every day for the rest of my life.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my
testimony. I overcome every day.
I overcome every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
And there will not be a feeble one amongst us.
And there will not be a feeble one amongst us.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down
forever. And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always
the glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the blood of Jesus together. I heard somebody say, in the realm of the Spirit, that Jesus would say, why are you communing amongst yourself? You know? I heard somebody just say, you act like you really believe this, preacher. I don't only believe it, I know it. I know it. Because I know the Word. Because I study it. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's sing a song about the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Now, I would usually finish singing that. But, since I am in the old West Branch Community Church building, we're going to sing my dad's favorite song about the blood. Sister Sunday, if you want to turn your mic on and sing, you can. Rebecca, you can. Dan, you guys can all sing with us. Here we go. My dad's favorite song is Power in the Blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power In the precious blood of the Lamb. And then Brother Bob would give a big shout and a kick. Woo! Glory. I don't think I ever called him Brother Bob before. I better get back to Dad. Then my dad would give a big shout and a kick. Sister Sunday, you call him Brother Bob.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Brother Bob?
Yeah, you can say Brother Bob would give a big shout and a kick.
Okay. Hello, Brother Bob.
Well, yeah, I mean, speaking of my dad.
Oh, yeah.
I just called my own dad Brother Bob, and that felt really weird.
Yeah, it was a pastor, reverend. That's what I called him. He was a boss.
He never had
you're
a problem with being
more like your dad every day. You know that.
Oh
yeah, it's there.
It was so interesting the other night when Brother Phil Driscoll was on. And he called his son up, and he said, I hear him playing his trumpet, and he's like, wow, he is just like me. And I'll tell you, if you didn't get the opportunity to see that, Sister Lan's going to remind me, and I'll post the link to that video because you can't find it. But if you have the link, you can still watch it. I'll post the link to that video of Brother Phil, and man, does he preach a powerful message. And right at the end, he and his son play their trumpets together, and it is amazing.
Sweet.
And anointed in Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's it for now. Until we see you again, which is supposed to be tomorrow at noon.
Yes.
We are going to be on the road for Williston. Somewhere within the next number of hours. It's no longer number of days. We'll probably see you in the car going down the road. Hopefully we'll be in a place where we have enough signal that we can stream. But if not, we'll just stop and find something, stream with you guys, and have our 1 hour of faith.
Amen. Sounds good.
And... hi, Rebecca. Love you.
Hi.
Next time, don't show up late. Be on time.
I was here.
I'm just teasing with you. And for those of you that are enjoying that Read the Word program, just hang in there. Think about it. Ezra, Nehemiah. Hold on just a second. Hold on just a second here. Let me just look at this. We got to get to day number 200, and where are we at? We have Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, Esther, and then Nehemiah and Malachi. Because we got to get Esther in here, because she was during King Ahasuerus' reign, which is somewhere between Darius and Cyrus. So, and that's the end of the New Testament. Today wow. is, or the Old Testament, I mean. Today is day, today is day 260. So we have 13. We have 13 days left in the Old Testament, and we're going to be in the New Testament.
Wow!
Wow! Wow! Wow! Wow! Wow! All right, we got to run. Wow. And thank you for all of you on YouTube. Make sure you click like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell, so that every time we go live, you can be with us. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, share this with all your friends. Share it with your enemies. Share it with everybody so that we can be a blessing. I was counting again the other day. It is amazing where God has taken this to. And thank you, Father, for doing it. And as soon as we get back to Williston, Now we're kicking this thing in gear for Wilkins Radio.
All and right.
For those of you that have been sending in daily sponsorships, what are we up to? Almost, we're up to like $900 almost. Yeah. And this is going to really be a powerful blessing where God's taking us. So thank you for being a part of it. May you sleep well, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on 1 Hour of Faith in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you. Oh, wait. Where's Phyllis?
She's not here.
Phyllis Raymond.
Well, this wasn't that. This is just read the word.
Phyllis Raymond. We miss you. I didn't rebuke her. I just said we miss you.
I know, but I'm saying this is read the word. She does that on our regular.
Well, it's all right. It's also establishing your faith. Read the word, and why don't you all show up? Here we go. This is Jude, verses 20 through 25. But you, beloved, you, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's how you build yourself up. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If you're having a problem with mercy for somebody, pray in the Spirit. If you're having a problem with your faith, pray in the Spirit. On some have compassion, making a distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you and me from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. And of course, that's going to bring exceeding joy to God our Savior, who alone is wise, in glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Till we see you again, amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Remember, we love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is
Lord.
See you soon.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
And that's something. My screen never came back.
It didn't?
Nope.
Okay. I'm ready, let's go.
Cho you are.